Good morning, church. Good morning, family, my brothers and sisters, and fellow followers of Jesus. I'd like, if I could, but I can't, so I won't sing for you, "Up from the Grave He Arose." I'll just let it ring in my heart, and I hope it will ring in yours. Christ our Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Great day, a day that changed the world, but in more ways than just today, the whole weekend from Good Friday right through to Sunday changed my destiny and changed your destiny. Now, what comes to mind when you think of these locations? Botany, Castle Hill, Macquarie Park, Castlebrook, Field of Mars, Pine Grove, Northern Suburbs, Warranora, Rookwood. Yes, they're graveyards, they're cemeteries, the final resting place for those who have died. Now, in Jerusalem, there is also a gravesite. It's a garden tomb where Jesus was placed. Let's read about this burial site in Matthew 28, 1 to 10. Matthew 28, 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were like as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, collapsed at his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Let's pray. Oh, loving Father, we just thank you that now in your presence, we sit in the presence of the risen Christ, the risen Lord, and we sit as your children, the ones that you died for, the ones that you have conquered death for. And Father, our hearts are filled with thanks and gratefulness. And Father, as we look further into your word, I pray that you will open our hearts to the truths, to the benefits and the blessings that you have given us and we can read about and understand and believe from your word through your spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, we will all die. There'll be a final heartbeat. Our bodies will go limp. Our lungs are going to exhale for one final time. We all die. No one escapes death. And one death per person. The psalmist asked, "What man can live and not see death, or save himself from the power of the grave? Young and old, good and bad, rich and poor, no gender is spared, no person is exempt." And in Ecclesiastes we read, "No one has power over the day of his death." Julius Caesar died, John Lennon died. Elvis Presley died. Princess Diana died. Billy Graham died. Statistics tell us that about 6 people die a second. More than 6,000 people an hour. 155,000 every day. And about 57 million die each year. We all die, no matter what we do or what we don't do. Those statistics, I might add, were taken before the coronavirus raised its ugly head. The mind boggles as we now look at the deaths of these recent days. We all die, no matter what we do or what we don't do. You can have the finest surgeon. He might enhance your life, but he cannot eliminate your death. You can pop pills, eat all the green vegetables and go on a strict diet. You can stay out of the sun. You can stay away from alcohol, tobacco, and illicit drugs. Yes, you might improve the quality of your life. However, you can never eliminate the inevitability of death, of your death. The saddest thing for me at present in this current environment is that one solitary life that is so significant to God and to those who love them are now just a number or a tag taped to a double-sealed coffin. You multiply that one life of significance by hundreds and you get some idea of the present daily tally of deaths and the heartache that comes with those deaths. Yes, we all die. We just die. Or do we? Do we? We read in our passage that it was Sunday morning after the Friday execution. The executioners were confident that they had done their work. The spear to the side of Christ had made certain that Jesus had breathed his last breath. That final breath seemed to suck the air out of the universe. And as his body lay in the grave, no one was expecting a resurrection. The disciples were the only concern the soldiers and the guards had. Even the religious leaders were concerned, and they actually went to Pilate and asked him to have the tomb made secure until the third day. Otherwise, you know, those disciples may come and steal the body and tell everyone that he has been raised from the dead. And that's not going to happen. But truth be known, those disciples were actually in meltdown. Peter followed for a while from a distance, but then he caved in and cursed Christ. John, the beloved disciple, followed Christ all the way to the cross and witnessed the crucifixion. But there is no indication that John, even John, was expecting a resurrection. The other disciples were hiding in every available corner and cupboard in Jerusalem for fear of being nailed to a cross that bore their name. On Saturday night, it seemed to all that the enemy had won and all hope had gone. When the women came on Sunday morning, they did not come expecting to talk to a resurrected Jesus. They came to embalm his body. But God had other plans. He rocked the cemetery. There was a violent earthquake. The angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled back the stone at the entrance of the tomb. Those soldiers were alive and well, were guarding the tomb where the dead body of Jesus lay. The violent earthquake shook the soldiers to the ground and they looked dead. The dead body they were guarding was now alive. How ironic is that? The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus. He is not here. He who was crucified is not here. He is risen, just as he said. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Those three words translated from the Greek mean to awaken. The angel says he is risen. He has awakened. You know, Christianity would collapse like a ton of bricks if this was not true, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. The women, the disciples, they didn't see a phantom. They saw the risen Christ. Thomas touched the wounds in his hand. He touched flesh and body, the very body that carried Jesus through Galilee and onto Jerusalem. They saw the risen Christ. And if Jesus is bodily raised, as the scriptures tell us, that means that right now, in the very heart of heaven, in the highest place in the universe, he dwells in a physical body of flesh and bones, declaring this promise that what God did with Jesus' grave, God will do with yours, for Christ has conquered death. What God did with Jesus' body, God will do with yours. God takes our final stage of life and turns it into a preface, a new beginning. Yes, we're all going to face death unless Christ comes first. But we will not face it alone, and we need not face it in fear. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe in Jesus? Then you will never die. Yes, your body might cease. You may pass through a time of transition, but you will never, never die. What a remarkable discovery. Everyone is telling you how to improve the quality of this life, but only Jesus Christ comes with the improvement for eternal life, the gift of eternal life. I can assure you of this. You will die in peace if you are in Christ. If you all have entrusted your soul and heart to him, then the one who defeated death will defeat yours. And the one who inspired King David to write these words, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jesus will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. But what if you never entrust your soul to Christ? Then I guess you'll face death on your own. No shepherd to guide you. No saviour to save you for eternity. Death happens to all. But death is the doorway into God's eternity and embrace. Which side of the doorway will you stand on? You know, Winston Churchill planned his own funeral. He left instructions for two buglers to be positioned high in the dome of the cathedral. And at the conclusion of his service, the first bugler played the song Taps, the song that singles the end of the day. Played at his funeral, signifying the end of his life. Then seamlessly, however, flowed into a second bugler who began to play Reveille, the song of a day begun. The song at his funeral representing a new stage of life, a graduation into the presence of Jesus. The day is over. Our earthly life is over. But we follow a new day a new day that has begun, and we are risen to eternal life. In the hands of Christ, the cemetery becomes a place where we go to die, but it's really the place where we are called to live. We're called to awaken, to arise. God who raised his son from the dead will raise you. The same God who emptied that grave will empty yours. Billy Graham was asked, which is more important, Christ's crucifixion or his resurrection? And this was his answer, both. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead are equally important. They cannot be separated from each other. Without Jesus' death, we have no hope of God's forgiveness. And without Jesus' resurrection, we have no hope of eternal life. Like the two wings of an aeroplane, both are essential. He was asked, why is this? The reason is because our greatest need is to be forgiven of our sins. Because sin separates us from God. And until we're forgiven and cleansed of our sins, we have no hope of eternal life in heaven. And we can't cleanse ourselves of our sins. No matter how hard we try, that's why we need Christ. He was without sin. But on the cross, all our sins were placed on him, and he took the judgment that we deserve. In other words, on the cross, Jesus became the final and complete sacrifice for our sins. But by his resurrection, Jesus broke the power of sin and death and hell and Satan, and now we no longer need to fear what lies beyond the grave. Jesus' resurrection confirmed that God accepted his sacrifice, and by putting our faith and trust, we too will be saved. We too will be resurrected. We too will be awakened. Death could not hold him down. Therefore, if we are in Christ, death cannot hold us down. Let's pray. Wow, oh Lord, what a message. Lord, we can face death with hope. We can face death with someone beside us, our shepherd, our Lord. Lord, as we give thanks for that, we also want to stop and pray for those we know, those in our lives who don't yet know you, those who haven't come into the relationship with you, those who haven't asked for forgiveness, those who haven't believed in faith that you are who you say you are and that you died for them. Father, we know them by name. We know them in our hearts. We pray for them often. And Father, once again, we bring them to you now. We pray that you'll touch their hearts and that they'll be challenged by this message of Easter, challenged by the message of Good Friday and your death on the cross, but also challenged by the fact, the message of Easter Sunday, that you have risen, that you have conquered death, and that you are the one we seek. You are the one through the Spirit who can change our lives and draw us to you. Father, we commit them to you. And Father, I pray that for us who know you as our Lord and Saviour, I pray that we will live each day knowing and believing that you are Lord, that you have conquered death, that you have redeemed us, sanctified us, and brought us to a place where we now await the glory of your presence. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the risen Christ. Thank you that we know him intimately. And may that intimacy grow deeper and deeper as we read your word, talk to you and seek your guidance and blessing for whatever the day holds, whatever the week holds, whatever the 6 months hold, whatever the coronavirus holds. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.